Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken, Fight Finesse Podcast. Felicia Fina Spencer, UFC number one contender featherweight. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on again. How are you?
Absolutely. Doing great, doing great. Feels good to get fights back on. Holidays were great. I loved, we had a good Christmas, a good New Year's. It's kind of cool to turn the calendar to 2021. I felt like everyone's shoulders hopefully got a little bit okay, but it's kind of cool to get fights back on. It's a real, real busy week and weekend coming up. So we're excited. How about you?
Yeah, it's really nice to get back into like a routine. You know, especially not being in fight camp, it's like you can kind of let the routine slip even more. So
sure.
I didn't have like the excuse that I'm training all the time, which is fine. So I was really happy to kind of have it all done. As much fun as I had enjoying the holidays, now I kind of can stick to the routine again and not be all over the place. So that feels good.
I hear that. We always love you coming on. We always love your phenomenal fighter of picks of the week or picks of the card. Always love that. Before we kind of get into it, kind of the topic at hand. So you said no fight camp at all. There's nothing on the horizon for you or no talks of something coming up soon or no spring date of some sort.
Nothing being really talked about. I have reached out, actually New Year's Day, I reached out to Nick to just say, hey, keep me in mind, I'm ready to get stuff going again. I know they had a break too. You know, I think everyone in the office over there at the UFC took a couple weeks off, rightfully so. And so now I'm just kind of, training, getting better and waiting. And I'm not in a rush, like whatever happens, happens, but I'm just getting better and better. So I'm happy. I'm good.
And kind of a question that just came off the top of my head. So you fought at the Apex with no crowd when you did fight Amanda Nunes last summer. And now with Fight Island coming this week, would that be something? Cause I know I always love seeing after your fights, you always like to travel. And I see you and Todd travel together all the time. Would you like to have that Fight Island, story to kind of do it once and go through that process or Fight Island for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome to go to Fight Island. I was hoping that they would stay longer. I think they're coming back after those three events,
So yeah.
Hoping they would just stay for the rest of the spring and I'd get on one of those cards.
I heard March. I think they're going to be there for like 2 weeks again in March. That's what I've been hearing.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll push for one of those days.
There you go. And it seems like they're, a couple featherweights won on the Dana White Contender Series. And I know they're trying to bring in an infused talent. Of course, we got Megan and Amanda coming up. I think UFC 259, I think, off the top of my head. But
yeah, there's a lot of hopefully good things happening, good things to look out for.
There we go. Very cool. Well, every time we have you on, it's always fun. We always laugh together. We've just been talking fights for over, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years now. I still remember first day walking into the jungle and you're like, I think you were the co-main event for Invicta FC. And you're like, it's cool. But it's like one day I want to fight Chris Cyborg. It was just like, okay, that's cool. Like that came out of nowhere. Like, that's awesome. And then it happened. And like ever since then, I was like, I'm just like so connected or attracted to like how you really like wanted that. You attained that goal that seemed at the time so like out there. And it was just like, okay, I'm in Felicia's corner forever. Definitely big fans of you and your husband Todd. So, but I know you kind of want to talk about something different, something real serious, and it's kind of a hard transition, but we're going to try here. And kind of the floor is yours. We have a website ticking at the bottom, and I just hope people listen and people really hear your message. And I'm just very just honored, I guess, that you're talking it with me. So I just want to say thank you, and the floor is yours, and I'll try to chime in when I can. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we can be candid. So just to introduce it, I really would like to use my platform for something good. You know, we always just talk about me, you know, me. So I wanted to just take a moment to shed some light on opioids in, you know, America, the world. I mean, I'm going to kind of focus on like statistically more Florida, but they call it a crisis a lot. And, you know, I don't like to think of things like crisis mode because then it's just panic, you know, but this is like a very real thing. Opioid use and abuse, people struggle with it in all walks of life. You know, I think probably everyone that's watching, no matter what, you know, part of Florida or the world or what job you have or who you are, you probably either you yourself are, you know, dealing with it, or someone in your family or someone in your extended family is, you know, dealing with an opioid problem. You know, that's what it is. It's something that we need to talk about, and kind of just to ease the stigma a little bit. You know, a lot of people are ashamed to talk about it, or, you know, the whole topic is, it's a lot of like shame around it when it doesn't need to be like that. So, you know, I really wanted to, you know, get across that there's not a lot that people feel like they can do, especially like if someone in your family is struggling or you perceive that they're struggling with something, you kind of feel like, what can I do? And a lot of time it feels like, you know, for me, I always felt like you can only help someone who wants to be helped, which is, I think, to some extent true. So you kind of feel lost at like, what can you even do for somebody? So I will get into something a little bit later about a step that you can actually take to just have a little bit of peace of mind for what you can do. And we can get into that sooner rather than later, but I wanted to go just to kind of jump into a little bit of statistics I wrote down just to kind of hone in like the problem and how fast it's actually growing. So a lot of, we've heard about this for in the back of our mind for probably your whole life, but in Florida, this is all just from Florida CDC statistics in 2012. So 8 years ago, the Florida record showed that only synthetic opioid deaths. So that means like fentanyl, that type of synthetic opioid is, we had about just under 200 deaths in 2012, whereas the overall, like all types of opioids, so that's hydrocodone, that's meth, that's heroin, that's fentanyl, that's every type of opioid, those overdose were around 1,500 that year. So just to kind of put it into perspective, how fast the rise has been. In 2016, synthetics became the number one killer of the opioid deaths. So it jumped, you know, instead of being just 200 people per year, it jumped to 1,500 with synthetic opioids alone. And that's what the total was in 2012. Wow. The total overdose deaths was 2,800 in that year. And it's basically exponentially rising. Like, you know, when I look at the graphs and things like that, it's almost like doubling in some years. And it's just like going up and up and up. Like we see a lot of bell curves nowadays, right? So kind of understand what that growth looks like and how big of a problem that is.
Right.
And part of the reason is fentanyl, you know, once it came on the market, it's not, I want to say, well, it is something that started in hospitals. It had a use. It is so cheap to synthetically make that people are getting their whatever they would normally get, whether it is other drugs or usually drugs, you know, heroin, that kind of thing, is getting cut with fentanyl because it's cheap and no one really knows it gets, you know, an effect that a lot of people think they want, but it's thousands of times more deadly than heroin. So if you're imagining someone having a problem and typically just taking like one drug, not that I'm condoning drug use, you know, whether it's heroin or meth or whatever it is, prescription drugs to, when we're talking about fentanyl overdose, it's in micrograms, which is hundreds of thousands. So there's 100,000 micrograms in like one typical dose of, you know, taking a drug, a bump or whatever it is.
Okay.
So if we're talking in that terms, it's 100,000 micrograms is a typical dose. 25 micrograms, or I'm sorry, 50 micrograms of fentanyl put you at risk to kill you. Wow. So it's like 50 out of 100,000. So it's such a small percentage. It's like if you have 0.00% of fentanyl in your dose that you don't know about, you can die.
Right.
Also something that really struck me with, you know, of course, people are becoming aware of fentanyl. I know, like, for people who have a real problem, sometimes it's just the curiosity factor. Like, they think they can just take less than what the last guy took and be all right. You know, just take, right. you know, do less and you'll be all right, which isn't the case, because it's such a small amount can kill you, you know, and it's something people don't really know or realize. Another thing that really struck me that I was told by a doctor is that if you have any amount of fentanyl and alcohol together, it somehow makes it more fatal. So if you're taking something with fentanyl and you're all right, if you take alcohol with it, then it changes completely something. I don't understand, you know, the chemical, whatever.
Sure, sure.
But something about that makes it even, like they said, from what I remember, it was 100% fatal. So any amount of fentanyl with any amount of alcohol is fatal. So,
and I would assume
that is something that
it's kind of common. Like, I would like, you know, not to talk, what, you know, offhand, but just like, you know, if you go out drinking and then, you know, sometimes some people, that kind of leads, it's like a gateway drug. I know that sounds like so corny or funny to say, but it really is. Like, sometimes then you might smoke that night or you might do something else that night because of drinking. So it seems like it, you know, if that is alcohol and that is that deadly, that's a big problem.
It really is, and people aren't aware a lot of the time that whatever they're getting, you know, even cocaine, even I don't want to make it sound like I'm dissing marijuana at all, but it has been found laced on marijuana because it makes it addicting and that whole thing. I don't want to say that that's like the main cause by any means, because statistically, it's just not, but it has happened. There has been marijuana laced with fentanyl, which makes it more addicting, or without any measurement, obviously deadly. I mean, it's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about, how, because drugs aren't regulated, you don't really know what you're getting ever. You don't know unless you have, you know, which is part of why I really love what Oregon has started, or what Oregon did in the last election. They made everything decriminalized, and they have a lot of clinics where people can go get drugs under the supervision of a nurse. And that's a whole other conversation about how this statistically, those people actually, even though they're just getting free drugs on a regular basis, they're actually coming less and less and less, to the point where they recover just from having a safe environment. They just have structure, you know?
And right. Kind of like the analogy I always say, like, I remember when I was a young teenager, or even like 10 years old, 12 year old boy, like, anytime there were Skittles in the house, like candy, like, I would sneak to wherever the candy is to get it. But now I'm a grown man and I can afford a lot of Skittles, but sometimes I don't buy them. Like, I don't need them in the house. Like, it seems like when you can have it, and it's not like a sneak thing, or it's not like a thing that, you know, it's hard to get, it's, you kind of lose the attraction of going after it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. For that. And that would be a good way to look at it for a lot of people who are kind of recreationally doing things. You know, on the other side, you know, there's the recreational users, and then there's the addicted users, which there's a fine line. I think, like, a lot of people would argue there's no difference, but it, for me, with, you know, the people that I know and just how I view the world, you know, I think that some people maybe do kind of recreationally do things and they don't have to do them. But for a lot of people, and maybe even the recreational users, is once you get addicted to something, you I don't want to say you lose control, but it's a lot harder to make that even a decision, because it's not, you know, you talk, there's some really, there's I forget the name, I should have looked it up. There's a documentary that just came out, I think, on Netflix, and it's based in Vancouver, but they have really candid conversations with a lot of opioid users who are just so honest about it. Like, they don't think it's cool. They regret the only time it was a decision was the first time. And then after that, it was a need. Like
they physically
only work. They work only to get the drugs. And a lot of them are homeless or even the people who aren't. You know, it's not just the homeless people you see on the street that are struggling with drug problems. It's a lot of people with great families that are just trying, but they just don't know what to do.
Right.
So I think just having those open conversations and stopping the shame about it is the one, you know, one thing. Of course, policies and like the culture, the government can do different things, but I'm one step at a time, right?
So, right.
So that kind of brings me to, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say kind of where you're at, like the best thing, and we talked about it on another thing we said, like the best way to get anything out there, of course, first and foremost, is just like communication, open line of communication, any kind of, you know, good relationship, husband, wife, family, a gym, a member to a coach, any kind of respectful, good relationship starts with open communication. And kind of with this, even, you know, drug abuse or drug problems, if you can have that open communication with somebody or someone or something, that can hopefully turn the corner or hopefully spin it into a positive light of getting over it in a weird way. So I just want to, like, open communication to me is like the first step, is the first thing. And that's kind of like what we're doing here today is like, hey, we're talking about it. We're open in communication and we hope more people join.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for people who maybe aren't feeling ready to talk to people that they love, there are groups out there. All you have to do is Google, you know, your area, and there are groups of just people you don't ever have to see outside of that group, you know, to just talk to and like NA, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, and that kind of thing. And I'm sure there's a lot of different social networking groups that are like that. And the one thing that I can really say about those is it helps you feel accountable, you know,
right,
talking about it. So whether it's with someone, if you don't want to get, you know, if you're not ready to involve the people that are around you, talking to a stranger, saying it out loud, you know, talking about your problem, or saying, you know, I went 3 days, I went a week, I went this, it holds you accountable. It makes you feel like proud to announce that to someone, you know, to have like that buddy system, you know, and you don't have to go it alone. So that's one thing that you can really do if you yourself are struggling, or someone you love is struggling, but they won't talk to you, is, you know, bring them, you know, encourage them, that kind of thing. Sometimes they just need maybe a friend to go with too.
Yeah.
Know? Like there's a lot of different things, but there, again, that kind of brings, sorry.
just even with the last thing to say about, like, even, I know sometimes life is tough and life is hard, especially in this pandemic era that we are in. It's hard to travel. It's hard to get out. We've traveled less as a family because of our girls and everything of that nature. Every circle or every, you know, group, there's always someone. Like, there's always someone that you can talk to or can lead. Like, I always joke about it. Like, not joke about it, but, like, I always say, like, I, you know, someone even that is not connected as my family or as a close circle member, but if you're like, hey Dave, I need you to drive with me to Orlando and go fit, like, I would do that. Like, there's people in your your communication circle that will do that for you, and you just have to reach out. Like, if you're open about communicating, I will almost promise you that people will say yes. Like, they will do it for you. There's people that do care about you, so I just want to get that out there.
Yeah. Probably more people than you think too.
Right.
You know, people just don't know how to bring things up,
right,
you know, starting conversations, and people just don't know how to help, you know, that's just the thing. Like, how do you help? So they just sit by, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, just a feeling. But one more thing that I wanted to sort of bring awareness to, like, my second big intention here is there's a product called Narcan. That is a nasal spray. It uses the drug is called, look down, naloxone. I always forget how to say it without looking at it. Either way, this product Narcan is a little box. You know, it's like this big of a box. It's a nasal spray that you can use, and it actually stops and can reverse an opioid overdose. So that includes any opioid, but only opioids, of course. You know, So, you know, hydrocodone, meth, heroin, any opioid, it stops the receptors from taking, I don't know all the science behind it, but it stops an overdose and can reverse an overdose.
Wow.
From the spray. And it's I have a box of it. I should have brought it out, but it's got a little like nasal spray. You just put it in their nose. If you see that they're overdosed, you know, there's a lot of signs. You can look online for how to see an overdose. It's usually pretty obvious when that happens, you know, if someone's looking like that, you know. You just spray it, and you can also then start, you know, CPR, breathing, you know, breathing into their mouth if they're not breathing or responsive. But still, you know, you still need to call 911 because it is still an emergency. It only lasts about 30 minutes to maximum 90 minutes, and then they can still overdose after. Like, it's not
right, right. All. Like,
you still need to call 911, but this can save a life.
Right.
You know, this is something where if you're on scene, you know, if you're at a party, if you're, you know, if you live with someone, if you know someone, and not just if you are around it. So if, you know, even if you're not around drugs being openly used, if that's not in your circle, you know, if you just know anybody that might be, you know, encountering drugs of the, you know, opioids, I would just say get it. You can get Narcan for free. I'll talk about that later. But just having it, I keep mine in my glove box in my car, my center console, because I'm home, I have it. If I'm out, I have it. So, and it's just there, it's just a little box. It doesn't take up much room, but I know exactly where it is. Because if you're on scene, you know, people only have minutes. You know, they have, I don't know, I think it's like 5 minutes or something like that. If they don't have oxygen, maybe 8 minutes, then you're brain dead. You know, like there's nothing else you can do once it's been too long. So being around, you know, being close enough to be the person to administer that can literally save a life. So again, you'd have to, you know, it's recommended to use it, to breathe, you know, to CPR, like breathe into their mouth. After a couple minutes, if there's no response, there's two doses per package. So that's nice. But by then, hopefully emergency services would be there. And it won't hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt anybody, even if you weren't overdosing.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was my question. Right now, so if it was like a false overdose and you did it, it wouldn't make more problems or pain happen.
No, not at all. Okay. From what I understand, you could, not that you should, but from what I understand, you could give it to yourself right now and nothing happens, because the only thing that this treatment, this drug does, is stop opioids. So if you don't have it's nothing, just wasted a dose, you know, like, so it's no risk involved. So if you think it's happening, just do it, you know?
And
I was saying a second ago, even if it's not in your circle, if you even just like, I know you, almost everyone probably has one person that they are around that when they're not around them, they might be doing this, you know, like.
I was going to comment on that as well. Like, you never know. Like you said, maybe that person isn't in an open communication and hasn't really did that first step. And you're like, yeah, no one in my group does that kind of stuff. Yeah. I bet you more
around you.
Yeah.
Especially like I'm speaking to you, if you have people in your group doing it around you, obviously I would say you need to have Narcan on hand, because everyone should know about this. Everyone should be aware of this so that in any situation you can use it. But even if you just know someone that you're around who you think would never have this around you, it doesn't mean that they didn't do something before they came to see you.
Right.
And an overdose doesn't always happen as soon as they take a drug. An overdose can happen up to an hour after. I'm not sure. I'd have to talk to someone again about that.
Okay.
But someone can be at their house, do a drug, come to see you, and then overdose.
Right.
What happened? You know, like,
yeah.
There's not an exact time for when that happens. And that was something that recently took me by surprise. And you never know, even if you just drive by an area where you know people are probably using drugs when you go to work every day, you know, you might save a life one day if you just have it in your car and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time, you know?
Right, right.
So that kind of thing is such an easy thing to have to impact someone hugely. And sometimes the close call that someone has might be enough to snap them out of, you know, needing to get help. You know, a lot of the time, right. People who almost die, you know, they really turn things around, and not all the time, you know, but so you can't count anyone out just because they have a problem. You know, they still deserve a second chance, and you can be the person to give a second chance to somebody. If, you know, just thinking about emergency preparedness, you know, we have batteries when the hurricanes come. Why don't we have Narcan in our car for potential overdose when numbers are just spiking, you know, every year. So,
right.
So places you can get Narcan, and there's lots of different brands of the naloxone, which is the drug that stops an overdose. There's injections, but the easiest thing to have on hand is the nasal spray, which the brand name is Narcan. You can get it like any pharmacy. Most pharmacies, like if you go to your CVS, your Walgreens, you can get it. You just have to pay for it. Without a prescription, though, there's no prescription needed for Narcan, for naloxone. You can also get it for free in every county in Florida. So I looked, there's a website, the one scrolling, isafefl.com, has a list of places you can go in every county to get free Narcan. You just walk in, just get some. So
yeah,
it's really that simple. And there's other places too that aren't on that website. Like the website has places in where I'm at in Orange County. But I actually went somewhere else. I Googled, you know, just Google it. Where can I get Narcan in wherever you're at? And it's going to come up with places that offer it for free.
Right. I'm so happy. You know, we talked about this. Like I said, you just never know. One person can see this. I'm definitely going to go get it. You know, with kids and you, sometimes life is so busy. But you never know. It's worth it. I looked it up. It's 20 minutes from my house. Like what's 20 minutes one way? I can go get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, get it and come back to work. And 40 minutes out of your day literally could save a life, which is invaluable. And especially someone you love dearly or a friend of that nature. It's just, it's so important and vital to do. So I just that's my one push on everything here today. It's just go get it. You know, I know life's hard, life's busy. It was a tough 2020. It's been great 2021. I'm trying to be as positive person. 2021 is going to be really good. So just this could be another positive thing for 2021. And a weird way, I know when people make donations at a Goodwill, sometimes I know this sounds maybe bad, but they're doing it to hopefully help people at Goodwill, but it makes you feel good. It's like, wow, I donated this to me. I got good mojo. I feel good about it. And I think if you go get it, I think you'll feel good about it. I think there'll be good mojo. It'll make you feel good as well. And I just think it's one of those things you just go do it. Like take 20 minutes, 30 minutes out of your day and go do it.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine knowing about it, which a lot of people just don't know about.
Right.
Or, you know, that this is even a thing. But just imagine knowing about it or even not knowing about it. And then being in a situation, as crazy as it seems, being in a situation where it could have saved a life and then you didn't. You know, there's a level of guilt that you shouldn't have, but you probably would have, you know, that would be involved with. So, you know, it's always better safe than sorry. And being prepared is always, you know, it's always.
Oh, you froze on me. Guys, we're talking with Felicia Spencer and, I think it was, you're there. You froze on me for a second. Maybe it was just
that was it too. Yeah, that was all I had to say.
Perfect. No, just thank you so much. You know, UFC fighter of Invicta FC champion, you know, fought Amanda Nunes, UFC 250 in one of the biggest main events and one of the biggest cards of the year. And with your platform to bring this to light is just such a I think a heroic thing for you to do. And I just want to say thank you so much. And like I said, hopefully if it just helps one person, if one person goes, gets it, I think it's a job well done on your part. And I'm just so honored that you, you know, came on and we talked about it and got it out there. And, you know, maybe we'll continue this another time. Maybe we'll continue this with another fighter. Maybe we'll continue this with a, you know, a family member of one of us. So we'll kind of keep going with the conversation. And I'm just thankful that you came on and did this.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you giving me the, you know, platform to talk about it. And I mean, I want to learn more and do more and talk about it more. So if there's anyone out there that has experience in the, you know, in this issue, you know, paramedic or doctor or police officer or anyone that has like good information that I can use to help talk about it, that would be, you know, just reach out to me on social media. Or if you, you know, if anyone just wants to talk about dealing with their own problem or how to approach a loved one with this problem, you know, anyone like that, just, you know, reach out. That's all you have to do, reach out, me or anybody. People are willing to talk about this. It's just, it's hard to start a conversation about. So be the one to start the conversation. That's the first step, you know, so just do it.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's at the bottom, isavefl.com. Head there. That's the first step. Do that. And then see where you got to go. Make sure you get it. You know, reach up the conversation. Maybe if it's not yourself, but you maybe think of an inkling of someone, maybe reach out, try to talk to them, but at least get it. And then that's the first step. And then we'll take it from there. But Felicia Spencer, thank you so much. Always appreciate you. We can't wait to hear your phenomenal fighters of the week and the weekend coming up. A lot of big shows coming up. So we're so thankful for you, and we'll talk to you real soon. Appreciate your time, like always.
All right, awesome. Thank you again. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Felicia. Have a good day.